We'd like to welcome you to our worship service this morning. We would love to have you turn in your hymnals to a hymn, but you don't have the hymnals and we don't have a pianist this morning. We're praying for all of you and hope that you're staying safe during this time. We do have a response here for the coronavirus. We're encouraging you to stay at home, not going out unless it's an absolute emergency. But we also want to do what the Lord wants us to do. So we want to give you some hope this morning. So we turn in our Bibles to Psalm 91. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying all around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your house. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. They will call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. A number of years ago, one of our missionary families living in a very dangerous and difficult situation memorized this psalm and prayed over it every day until they were delivered. We need to do that same thing today. We need to come to the Lord and tell him that he is the one we are trusting in. We need, in America today, a revival. Exodus 15, verse 26 said, He, the Lord, said, If you listen carefully to the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. We can learn so much from the Word of God. I've recently read through the first 5 books of the Bible and realize that there's so much good advice that comes from the Lord, that he wants us to live by his word, by his commands. And when we do, we receive his blessings. I really enjoyed the book of Deuteronomy where it talks about being the head and not the tail. That's exactly what we want in our lives today. We don't want to follow, we want to lead. And as Christians today, we can lead if we allow God to work in our lives, if we live in obedience to him and allow him to work in and through us. We need to ask ourselves as Christians today if there is anything that would hinder our prayers. If there is, we must confess it and ask for God's forgiveness and cleansing. God will use us if our hearts are right with him. God promises to forgive and cleanse us if we just ask. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Since we've come to him for salvation, we have already confessed our sin to him, but it's so important for us to go to him on a daily basis and to keep our sin before him confessed and cleansed. He said he would forgive us our sin, and we have been forgiven all of our sin if we've trusted in Jesus as our Savior. But it's so important, as Jesus washed the disciples' feet where they had contact with the world. One of my kids talks about walking in the hospital and realizing that the floors of the hospital carry so many germs. And we're being told, too, that the germs, if you cough or you sneeze, go down to the ground and we walk on them. So we have to be careful about where we walk. Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and he promises in 1 John 1:9 to forgive us our sin from the daily walk, from our daily sin, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need that cleansing. We need that forgiveness if we are to come to him in prayer. If we approach the Lord in a sinful state with iniquity in our hearts, Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And at that time, I need to come to him and ask his forgiveness for my sin. On a weekly basis, when I was growing up, the pastor in my local church would quote 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's a great verse to remember in times like this. And that chapter in 2 Chronicles talks about the people sinning and the consequences of that sin. It talks about the people being overtaken by their enemies and scattered throughout the world. And that, we know, had happened to Israel in 722 BC when the enemy came in and took them and planted them through the whole world and then brought in other people to live in Israel. So we know that that can happen and that the Lord does bring punishment even on his people. So we're called as Christians to come and confess our sin and to receive his forgiveness and to receive his cleansing. Habakkuk, I call this the even if factor. Habakkuk 3:16-19. Habakkuk has literally heard the hoof sounds of the horses coming. He said, Lord, how can you allow a nation like Assyria to come in and conquer? How can you allow a nation like Babylon to come in and conquer your people? That was in the first chapter of Habakkuk. And the Lord came to Habakkuk and answered his question about the sin that was in Israel. And so Habakkuk responded to God's word in chapter 3:16-19. He said, I heard and my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay entered my bones. And in my place, I tremble because I must quietly wait for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. And then he goes on and talks about the situation in Judah and Israel in that day. He says, though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet, and makes me walk on high places. For the choir director on my stringed instruments. Just think of the prophet Habakkuk. Back in that time, it was very much a culture that was based on agriculture. And he's talking about the crops failing. He's talking about no herds in the stall, nothing. All of the things that they had invested in were being depleted. Nothing on the grocery store shelves. Similar to what we face today. The stock market going down instead of up. All of the things that we kind of rejoiced in the last few years. Now the gains being erased. We wonder what the future holds. Even as Habakkuk wondered back before Jesus' day. Trembling, quivering in our lips. A day, he said, a day of distress, waiting for the enemy to invade. And if all of those things came about, he said, yet I will exalt in the Lord. Yet I will worship the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation, because we know that our salvation is not just of this world. We know that our final salvation, our final healing is in heaven. I've wondered many times about what it must be like in heaven for the people who are there. In fact, I have a list in the front pages of my Bible of the people that I'm going to meet when I get to heaven, that I look forward to seeing again. Those people who have died in Christ and who are with him. I think about my mom and now my dad. I still have the little card from my dad's funeral in my pocket in this jacket. But I think mostly of my mom when I think this way. And I think, well, I wonder what she's thinking in heaven. You know, she used to worry so much about us when she was here. Yes. One of us might get sick, that one of us might die, that she might have to lose one of her children, or maybe my dad would die before her and she would have to go through that grieving process. And now I can just imagine her in heaven thinking, I wonder what's taking them so long. So even if the worst thing were to happen, the worst thing that we think of, which is death, it just means that we'll be in the presence of our Savior. And so Habakkuk said, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Even if the enemy comes, even if the enemy takes my life, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet to rise above my present circumstances. He makes me walk on my high places. And then interestingly enough, he said, this is for the choir director on my stringed instruments. So imagine Habakkuk in the Old Testament. But our worship team is working on a song and we'll probably sing it when we get back. You can look it up on YouTube. Just look for Mercy Me. The song is Even If. They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now, I'm losing bad. I've stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be all right. But right now, oh right now, I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able, and I know you can. Save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. They say it only takes a little faith to move mountain. Well, good thing, a little faith is all I have right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing, "It is well with my soul." I know the sorrow, and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. You've been faithful. You've been good all my days. Jesus, I will cling to you, come what may. Because I know you're able. I know you care. I hope in you alone. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. 1973, I spent the summer in Pottersville, New York. And on one of my days off, I went and looked through the little cemetery that was there across the road from where I lived at Word of Life Bible Institute. And I noticed a little gravestone. It was square. And on each side of the square, it had the name and dates of a child from one family. I think it was back in the early 1900s. And I thought, what it must have been like to bury four of your children. And I wondered about their salvation. Because not only do we as God's people need to be prepared, but everyone who is listening to my voice today, and everyone, the Lord has opened up the way of salvation for everyone. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This salvation is for everyone. It's not only for a select few. It's for everyone who will trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And for each one of us, that's true. For me, probably it was about 60 years ago I first trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. It's important for us to trust in him. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But before that, the Bible said, "For God so loved the world." Jesus Christ came and died for each one of us. But only those who trust him, only those who put their faith in him will be saved. What better day, what better time to trust Jesus for your salvation? I asked a question this week on Facebook. Is there a shorter version of a prayer for salvation than, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me in Jesus' name"? It was the prayer of what the Bible calls a publican who had gone to the temple. And there was a man there that was filled with pride. And he said, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this publican, like this sinner." And the Bible said this sinner said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me." And Jesus said, "Who went away from the altar right with the Lord?" It wasn't the man who thought he was good enough for God. It was the one who said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me." So I threw that challenge out there to everyone on my Facebook page. One of my friends said, "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me." A good prayer for salvation. Then another friend posted, The thief on the cross had no time to live a Christian life. He said simply, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And then another friend posted what Martin Luther said in faith. He said, "Lord, I'm yours. Save me." And he was born again. I'm not sure if it really matters what we say. It was something that I struggled with when I was younger. Because when I came to the Lord, I prayed the prayer after one Sunday school and morning worship service at my home church. And I believe it was either my mother or my sister who led me to Christ. I can't remember which one. But through the years, I would wonder, am I really a Christian? Some of the things that I thought, some of the things that I did, some of the things that I said made me think, well, maybe you didn't say the right prayer. Maybe you didn't get it right. Maybe you better say it again. And so through the years, when a pastor would give an invitation, I would bow my head and close my eyes and pray what he said was the sinner's prayer, hoping that this time it would completely change my life. Well, over and over again, I would say the same prayer. And then when I was in college, actually when I was in Bible college, I came across a verse in my devotional time. It was Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul wrote, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." And there were two things that were going on in my life at that time. The first thing was I was going to a class on comparative religions. And I wondered, well, is what I believe about Christianity the truth? Or is it relative? Could I have been just as happy growing up in a Muslim house, a Hindu house, a Buddhist house? What makes Christianity different? And for me, it came down to one thing. It came down to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus said over and over again, "I am going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again on the third day." And over again, he would tell his disciples this. And so I came to the conclusion that if he could do that, and I believe we have enough evidence in the Bible now to say yes, as just a historical book, to say yes, Jesus Christ died, he was buried, he rose again the third day, he ascended into heaven. And I believe that there is enough evidence to say yes, this is the truth. But the second part was, am I a part of that truth? Have I really trusted Christ as my Savior? Has Jesus saved me? And how do I know that's true? Since I've gone forward on so many places, I went forward in my home church, I trusted Jesus as a little kid, I've gone forward at different revival services, up at Word of Life, on different occasions. Am I sure that I'm in? That I'm a part of it. And I looked at that verse again, "For I am confident of this very thing." That's the confidence that I lacked. I wanted to be confident of that very thing, that he who began a good work, did he begin a good work in me? Has he been working in me? That he who began a good work in you, in me, will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So I looked back when I was probably around 20 years old, a sophomore in college, and looked back at my life and said, yes, he's begun a good work in me and he has continued to do that work. Have I sinned? Sure, I've sinned. But I've come to him. I've been convicted of that sin. I can't sin without him tapping me on the shoulder and saying, "You've got to confess that. You've got to come to me for forgiveness and for cleansing. We need to be sensitive as Christians so that we can be right and receive from Him the revival that we need. So come today. If you've never trusted Him for salvation, come today and pray a simple prayer that says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me. I'm a sinner who needs salvation. That's all I have to pray. Lord, I need you. I need your salvation. I need your forgiveness. I need your cleansing. And you will enter into that family of God. But be careful, because He might do some things that'll surprise you. He might use you in ways that you could never imagine. And He might drastically and radically change the way you live. You might become a prayer warrior. You might become an evangelist. You might serve Him in so many different ways. But come to Him and give your life to Him today. As we pray, we're going to pray for each of us. We're going to pray for us in general, but we're also going to pray for those in our church who need special prayer. And I'm just going to mention them by their first names. So let's look to the Lord now in prayer. Our Father and our God, we do come to you and thank you, first of all, for our salvation. We thank you, Lord, that even if the worst might happen, that we might have a virus or something else that would take us into your presence, that that would be the best day in our lives. The world looks at it as the worst thing that could possibly happen. But we know, Lord, that if you took us into your presence today, it would be the best day and the best thing for us. But Father, we do ask for your hedge of protection around your children. During this pandemic, we pray that you would give us wisdom to know what we should do and what we shouldn't do. I pray, Lord, for your people, that we might shelter in place if that's possible. And if it isn't, Father, we pray that you would go with us. Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that nothing would take us before your time for us. So bless us, we pray, Lord. Bless this church. Bless those who are listening to my voice this morning. Father, we pray for those who are sick today. We ask, Father, for those who are dying. We think, Lord, of Bill on Comfort Care. And pray, Lord, your blessing on Bill and his family as they gather together. I pray, Lord, that you would, even now, touch his body and strengthen it. If be your will, we pray, Lord, that you would bring him back from the precipice of death. Father, we thank you that he knows you as his personal Lord and Savior. We pray, Lord, for Dana, who is recovering from knee surgery. We ask, Lord, that you would reduce the pain that he's feeling in his knee right now. We pray, Lord, for the family of Shirley, who is now with you. We pray, Lord, that you would comfort their hearts and that you would bless them. Father, we thank you that we have a home in heaven that we can look forward to. And we ask, Lord, your blessing on all those who seek you today with their whole hearts. We ask, Lord, that you would bring salvation to the homes of many, revival, Lord, in our land. We realize, Lord, even as we pray, even as we come and think of 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, we may not, Lord, be the people of Israel or the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who that was written to, but we today are your people, and so we can claim that promise for ourselves. We humble ourselves and pray. We seek your face today, Lord. We turn, Father, away from any sin that is a part of our lives today. And we ask, Lord, for your salvation. We ask, dear Lord, for an end to this pandemic that is going across the world. But most of all, we pray for revival We ask, Lord, that you would sweep across this world today. We know, Lord, that we're not in danger of this virus if we go outside. But Lord, even as we go outside and we feel the wind blowing, we're reminded that your spirit moves as the wind moves, that there are no barriers to your spirit. And we pray, Lord, that your spirit would flow through our nation today and across the world today, that we would see people coming to know you, that we would see many people trusting you as their Lord and their Savior, that you would use each one of us, that you would use the internet, that you would use family members to bring this message of salvation around the world today. And we will give you the glory in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. God bless you all, and we hope that this virus will soon be gone and we'll be able to gather together again, that these pews will be filled, and that there may be even more people joining us because they've come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. God bless you and stay safe.